perform your prescribed duty. For doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are many pseudo-meditators who misrepresent themselves as belonging to high parentage and great professional men who falsely pose that they have sacrificed everything for the sake of advancement in spiritual life. Lord Krishna did not want Arjuna to become a pretender. Rather, the Lord desired that Arjuna perform his prescribed duties as set forth for Kshatriyas. Arjuna was a householder and a military general, and therefore it was better for him to remain as such and perform his religious duties as prescribed for the householder Kshatriya. Such activities gradually cleanse the heart of a mundane man and free him from material contamination. So-called renunciation for the purpose of maintenance is never approved by the Lord nor by any religious scripture. After all, one has to maintain one's body and soul together by some work. Work should not be given up capriciously without purification of materialistic propensities. Anyone who is in the material world is certainly possessed of the impure propensity for lording it over material nature, or in other words, for sense gratification. Such polluted propensities have to be cleared. Without doing so, through prescribed duties, one should never attempt to become a so-called transcendentalist, renouncing work and living at the cost of others. Perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is speaking these words to Arjuna to impel him to act with great determination and enthusiasm. The essence of the Gita is to always remember Krishna and to perform enthusiastic service for the pleasure of the Lord in every aspect of our life. It is explained in the Bhagavatam, Atha pumbir dvija sreshtas varanashrama vibhagasha svanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir hari taushanam. That whatever one's varna or ashram may be, whether one is a brahmachari, living with no independence, with no possessions, very simple, willing to do anything and everything 24 hours a day in the ashram of the guru, that is the duty of a brahmachari. A brahmachari is sold out. He has nothing but service to guru. He wants nothing outside of service to guru. Whether one is a grihastha, one who has a family, children, an occupation, so many social responsibilities, but keeps Krishna as the center of all of his activities, is not attached to being the proprietor, is not attached to the egoistic conception of being the Lord of his limited domain, but performs his work honestly, associating with sadhus to always keep a proper direction and inspiration in life. A person who makes his home a temple of the Lord and treats all family members, relatives, and so forth as Krishna's property, not his own. And there is the vanaprastha, retired. Children are grown with a husband and the wife. They simply engage all of their energies in helping one another to make spiritual advancement through service to Guru and service to Krishna. And the sannyasi who leaves everything behind in life simply to inspire others to become Krishna conscious. One in the sannyasa order of life is meant to renounce especially the egoistic propensity to be the controller or the proprietor, and is willing to accept whatever hardships comes for the sake of performing the greatest service to humanity by his words and by his example. And then there are the four varnas, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Wherever we may particularly, by our previous karma and our current propensities, fit, everything we do should simply be for the pleasure of Krishna. If Krishna is pleased, then our occupation is successful. If Krishna is not pleased, then we are a failure. We are a failure. The whole world may glorify you, but you are a failure because you have missed the aim of life. You have spoiled your human birth. However successful, however popular we may be in this world, human life is only meant for one purpose, and that is self-realization. And self-realization is only possible through devotional service, through pleasing Krishna, through obtaining his mercy, which is coming through the great Vaishnavas. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna to impel him to act with determination and enthusiasm in devotional service to him. He is explaining that everyone must act just to maintain this physical body. To be lazy is spiritual death. This is one of the greatest enemies for anyone who wants to advance in spiritual life. People in this world, they are often very willing to work so hard for money, which will provide the necessities that are available for the animals. The animals are quite content living in their nest, eating their whatever grows in the trees. And to provide a more comfortable nest called a home, or better food, we work so hard, like asses. But when it comes to our spiritual life, we simply don't have time. We have too many other priorities. We are too tired. This is the greatest ignorance. This mentality is the mentality of one who is cheating one's own soul, cheating God, and cheating all humanity. We must perform our work, but we must understand what our first and foremost work is. It is to purify our hearts, not to pay our bills. Because it is a fact However famous, however skilled you become in your profession, however wealthy, you will still be miserable if you are not self-realized. Because it is the way of the world. The poor people do not suffer more than the rich people. That is the greatest illusion. They just suffer in a different way. Different types of suffering. They suffer due to severe anxieties, envy toward one another, pressures, fear of losing one's prestige, fear of losing what one's given one's life to achieve. Therefore, this human form of life is meant for one purpose only. It's to realize that we are the eternal soul. We are part and parcel of Krishna. And to engage in the activity of the soul, which is devotional service or bhakti. But in order to do this, we must be enthusiastic and determined for our spiritual life. The yuga dharma of this age is to chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Intelligence means we have more determination and enthusiastic to chant the name of God than any other aspect of our life. More than maintaining our families, more than going to work and making the status quo in our business or profession, more than keeping my physical fitness and my health together. That is called intelligence. To make any priority over the chanting of the name of God is avidya. It is ignorance. These things must be done. But it has to be done in its proper perspective. When we rise early in the morning, when we come to the temple, or we worship the Lord by chanting the holy names, by coming to the satsang and associating with sadhus, with devotees, this is the most important part of our life. And we must be enthusiastic for it. Arjuna, he fought the battle out of enthusiasm to serve Krishna. And in the same mood, this is how we must perform all of our work. And the test of our enthusiasm and our sincere desire will come when it is difficult. When there are so many other alternatives and necessities that come into our life. If you have absolutely nothing else to do and no one else to serve except Krishna and chant his names and there's nothing else expected of you, then anyone, even with no sincerity, can do his prescribed duty in this regard. But when there are so many other crises that come into our life, and so many other alternatives, and so many emergencies trying to divert our attention away from our sadhana, then we can understand whether we are sincere or not. We come into family life, sometimes we have children. The children demand so much of us, and it is our duty to take care of them, to provide them emotionally, physically, on every level, what they require. But unless we are Krishna conscious ourselves, we are cheating them of what we owe them most. because the animals are supplying their children food and proper shelter for their bodies and their minds. But what are we doing for our child's soul? Unless we are Krishna conscious, we can do nothing. That is the greatest need. Therefore, whatever our situation may be, we must make our spiritual advancement first in our life. And whatever circumstances, whatever emergencies may come upon us, it is a test of whether we are sincere. If for any reason under the sun we put our Krishna consciousness on the shelf for another day, we lose the mercy of the Lord. We lose the purpose of this human life. And we are to be considered the most unfortunate species in the world. The Vishnu Purana explains. But who is the most unfortunate? That person who forgets Krishna for a moment. And this is what Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, you have to have determination and you have to have enthusiasm. And you have to be willing to work hard on every level of our life. But especially for our spiritual progress. And in this age of Kali Yuga, we know that Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gati Ranjata. That there's no other way of purifying the consciousness from all of the contaminated attachments that have been developed by our own selves for so many births, than the sincere chanting of the holy names in the association of sincere devotees. Srila Prabhupada, by his own example, he set this standard. When he went to America, even before he went to America, here in Bombay, his Gurudev asked him to preach Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking language. And he understood in order to do this successful, he had to take the message of Lord Chaitanya throughout the whole world. His Guru was calling upon him to leave the sacred land of Bharatvarsha for another place. And it was difficult. And he requested time and time again for passage to the United States. But it was not given. Ultimately, he sat on the steps of one virtuous lady who owned a steamship company. And he just decided, I will not leave these steps until I get my ticket. After being refused again and again and again, he was determined. He was determined to do the will of Krishna. And despite ill health, heart attacks, seasickness, when he arrived in New York City, nobody helped him. In fact, the people who were supposedly providing for him were actually diametrically opposed to everything he was speaking. And he had a ticket to go back any day and live peacefully in Vrindavan. But his enthusiasm was not in the slightest bit disturbed, because he knew that this is what Krishna wants. This is what my Guru Maharaj wants. He didn't just find a comfortable place for himself in New York City. He wasn't content until everybody on the earth was chanting the holy names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
That is determination. That is enthusiasm. And following in the footsteps of such great personalities, we must have that same type of determination and enthusiasm for our own spiritual progress and for helping others to also make spiritual progress. Because anything we do for any other purpose than pleasing Krishna, it is temporary. It is washed away by the tides of time in due course. But Krishna says in Gita, Neha bikramana sosti pratyavayo nividyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato. That whatever service is done for my sake is eternal. It is never lost. A businessman knows that the most important thing he has to really consider is whatever resources we have to invest it where we get the best returns. If you have so much capital in the form of so much money, and someone tells you, you invest it here, and I promise you, when you need it the most, we'll give you nothing back. Will you invest in that place? You say no, but actually, we have been doing it since time immemorial. By investing in our sense gratification or any of the things of this world, at the time of death, which is inevitable, it may come today, tomorrow, but it will come soon, everything you've given your life for, all of the energy, all of the time, all of the money, everything you've invested your life in, when you need it most, what will you get back? Nothing. There's nothing more precious than time. As they say, time is money. And people understand, the best manager and the most successful person is the person who utilizes every minute, every second for the most important and essential thing. So this invaluable capital of time that we have in this human birth, how are we investing it? Anything we invested in of this world, we get nothing back. But Krishna promises that devotional service, bhakti, is eternal. Whatever we do for Krishna is never lost. If you make 1% of spiritual advancement, and that's all you can pursue in your life, in your next birth you begin from 2%. If you proceed 90% in your spiritual progress, in your next birth you begin from 91%. Yani sha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati sana nashrito vijite bhavo. Because in the spiritual realm, everything is eternal. nothing is lost. But in the material realm, everything is lost. Like a child that plays on the shore of the ocean and builds his castle in the sand, the child may spend all day building his nice houses out of sand. But as the evening starts coming and the tide comes higher, it comes closer and closer to jeopardizing all that the child has dedicated his day to achieve. And as those waves come closer and closer to his castle, he becomes very fearful. Why is he so fearful? Because he spent the whole day doing it. And he's attached to it because it looks so nice. It's his. It's his creation. But then that one fateful wave, it sweeps the whole castle back into the ocean. And the child is left with nothing. And he cries. And his parents smile. Such a foolish child. So the self-realized souls, although on one hand their heart is weeping to see how the whole human society is busy building their castles in the sand. And as the waves of time come closer and closer and closer and inevitably wash everything away, all of our wealth, all of our accomplishments, all of our athletic abilities, all of our musical skills, all of our family members, all of our friends, everything, all of the awards we have achieved, they're all just washed away by the waves of time. And we are so much frustrated over all of this, but the self-realized souls, they are smiling. Because they are thinking, so childish. There's something more than this. Our birthright as the children of God, the children of Krishna, is that we have an eternal inheritance in the spiritual world. A life which is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. To seek anything else in our life is simply childish, foolish. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful story about a Brahmin from a place called Avanti Desh. And this Brahmin, due to association, he became very greedy and he worked so hard to acquire more and more wealth, more power, more prestige. And in the process, he became so caught up in all of those endeavors that he wasn't even conscious that he was misusing, offending, and even being cruel to his own near and dear ones. Because greed, lobha, and lust, kama, create a hardness of heart. But, as destiny has it, the waves of time came and washed all of his power, prestige, and wealth away from him right before his own eyes. He lost everything. Fires burn down his businesses. Thieves steal what stole whatever remained. And then his own family members, the basis of the relationship that he made with them was not mutual spiritual service toward one another to help become God conscious. If you develop that relationship with others, they'll never leave you. But his relationship was in providing for them, in giving them sense gratification, and taking sense gratification from them. And when he could no longer supply, they left him. He was alone with nothing. And his heart was in utter agony. It was worse than death. But he lived. And in that anxiety, people were misusing him. The same people that were respecting him and offering honor because he did so much favors for them, they didn't need him anymore. A friend in need is a friend indeed. You don't know who your real friends are till you have nothing. Till you're in crisis. Then who is there to stand by your side? When everything's going well and you're having fun with people and you're providing, then it's a process of mutual exploitation. You are exploiting them, they are exploiting you. When you have nothing to exploit, they don't have time for you. As soon as you become a liability instead of an asset to their sense enjoyment, they don't have time for you. So we should not build our relationship basis of. But he did not do so. So he lost everything. And the more you have, the more you're attached to what you have. And the more you're attached, the more you suffer when it's taken away. This is Krishna's teaching in Gita. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dhuka jonaya evate atyanta vanta konte anate shuramate buddha Sri Radharas Bihari. That an intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are called material enjoyment. Material enjoyment is the source of all misery. Prahlad said, if you want to be happy and stop suffering in this world, just stop trying to be happy in this world, and you'll be happy. As long as you're trying to be happy in this world, you have to suffer. Because you're trying to be happy by acquiring more and more and more sources of misery. And the more you have, the more you become attached to it, and the more you suffer when it's taken. And it will be taken. That is beyond anyone's control. So this Brahman, he had so much. And to the degree he enjoyed it, he suffered when it was lost. And all he had for all of his years of hard labor was a broken heart and a disturbed mind. Does it sound familiar? Anyways, in his extreme and acute condition, he ultimately only had one person to turn to. And that was God, Krishna. And he turned to Krishna, that I have no one but you. I have nothing except you. And when turning to Krishna, and in that sincere, wholehearted way, chanting the holy names, attained a wealth infinitely more wonderful and pleasurable than everything he worked so hard for and lost. The real treasure is in bhakti. The real wealth of life is in inner realizations of our relationship with God. And that can all be understood and realized through the chanting of the holy names. That Brahman of Avanti Desh became a self-realized soul in a matter of moments. He became blissful and detached. And his beautiful prayers are sung even by the great saints for all time to come. He contributed something of infinite value to all humanity for all time by his mature realizations of learning that Krishna is the real goal of life, and that by loving Krishna and surrendering to Krishna and chanting his holy names is the means of achieving that goal. So, we must work not only according to our social responsibilities, but we must be willing to work very hard with grave determination and enthusiasm to perfect our lives by reading regularly Srimad Bhagavatam, by coming and hearing and serving the sadhus, the Vaishnavas, and most of all, by every day with great attention chanting the holy name of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And we should allow nothing to divert our attention away from that vow of determination. If we have that enthusiasm, we are human beings. If we do not, the scriptures call us two-legged animals. Let us invest our most precious energy and time in life in chanting the holy name. And as Krishna is explaining, that doesn't mean we have to give up any of our other activities if they are done in an honorable way. But we can never in any way minimize the importance of the gift of God in the form of his holy name. It is our first duty. It is our first work. And it is the ultimate service and charity that any man can offer, is to purify his or her lives by regularly, every single day, chanting the holy names. Those who are initiated devotees living in these beautiful temples our Guru Maharaj has provided, it is their first and foremost duty in life to rise early, to attend the Mangal Arati, to chant 16 attentive rounds in the temple room with the Vaishnavas, to hear attentively Srimad Bhagavatam. All your other duties are subordinate, subservient to this. And if this is not strictly followed, all of our other duties become irrelevant in the eyes of God. And for those who are living outside the temple, to come regularly, to associate with those who have given their lives, to hear from them as far as possible, and in our own homes, to make our home a temple of the Lord, to live according to the principles of no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, to offer all of our food to the Lord, to every day chant the holy names at a prescribed time when we can do it attentively with enthusiasm. In this way, wherever we are, whoever we are, we can receive the great fortune that is our very birthright as human beings. The fortune of becoming a transcendental, divine servant of the Lord, which is available for everyone who just follows these principles of enthusiastically chanting the holy names. So at this time, we'd like to invite everyone to join us in this wonderful Yuga Dharma, the medicine that cures all the ills of this age of Kali Yuga, Harinam Sankirtan. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has prayed, Enechi Ashadi Maya Nashi Baru Lagi Harina Mahamantra Lao Tuni Lagi. That Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to bring the medicine that cures even the disease of death, the disease of all suffering and illusion. And that medicine is the sweet sound of Krishna's holy name. Translate to
भक्ति पर आधारित नहीं थे। हमें अपने रिश्ते को श्री कृष्ण की और एक दूसरे की सेवा पर आधार करना चाहिए, नहीं तो हम अंत में जो है दुख प्राप्त होते हैं। तो उसका मन बड़ा विचलित था और ऐसी दुर्न अवस्था में वो भगवान कृष्ण की ओर मुड़ता है और भगवान के नाम को भी सहाय भावना से गाता है। तो सच्ची संपत्ति है भक्ति की संपत्ति और वो हरि नाम कीर्तन के द्वारा जानी जा सकती है। इसी से हमें आनंद और अनासक्ति की प्राप्ति हो सकती है। हमें एक साथ कार्य करना है, श्रीमद् भागवत का श्रवण करना और साधुओं का सत्संग करना, ये बहुत आवश्यक है। इस कार्य में कोई भी चीज बाधा नहीं आ सकती। अगर हम मंदिर में रहते हैं तो ये बिल्कुल आवश्यक है कि सवेरे उठना, मंगल आरती अटेंड करना और सोलह माला जप करना, श्रीमद् भागवत का श्रवण करना। अगर हम ये नहीं कर रहे, दूसरे जितने